Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Daniel chapter 7. You know, the first six chapters of Daniel, which we've studied the past several weeks, are full of historical events, stories that are familiar to many of us, and we can tell those stories, and we tell the stories to our children and to our grandchildren. We've heard them over and over again, and so they're very familiar. Now, the last six chapters of Daniel, the history sort of steps to the background, and the prophecy sort of steps to the foreground. And so chapters 7 through 12 are not as well read, not as well known as the first six chapters, but there are some wonderful truths in those last six chapters. And again, the prophecy was in these last six chapters were given to Daniel in a series of visions. Some of them occurred while he was still in Babylon. Some of them occurred when the Medes and the Persians took over, some under Darius the king, and then one under Cyrus the king. In fact, chapters 7 and 8 take place in Babylon when Belshazzar was still king. Now remember, we met Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. He was the one that brought the temple dishes out, used them for a party that he was having with his lords. And God was very displeased, sent a hand to write on the wall, said, "Hey, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. This night, the kingdom will be taken from you." And so there's two visions that Daniel had between the time that Nebuchadnezzar was king and died, and Daniel sort of went into retirement. And then in Daniel chapter 5, when Belshazzar calls him out of retirement to interpret the writing on the wall. So he has a couple visions in that time frame. Chapter 7, it says in the first year of Belshazzar, and chapter 8 in the third year of his reign. And then chapters 9 through 12 are visions that he had when the Medes and the Persians took over. Chapter 9 and chapter 11 and 12 are in the first year of King Darius. Now, King Darius was the one that we talked about last week, or last couple of weeks. He was the one that got tricked into throwing Daniel in the lion's den. And so in the first year of his reign, and then chapter 10, so they're not in chronological order, is in the first year of Cyrus, who took over after Darius, and Cyrus was the one that decreed that the Jews could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And so a series of visions that tell Daniel what's going to happen in the last days. As Jesus gets back to set up his kingdom. Now, these prophecies talk about the fact that both the Gentile nations, and again, the prophecies that we're going to talk about for the next six chapters, there's one that deals with Israel, but the others all deal with Gentile nations, okay? And the prophecies are prophecies of judgment because these nations have disobeyed God and turned away from God. And so he's going to bring his judgment on both the Jews and the Gentiles because they have turned away from him. In chapter 7, and again, we'll probably only get through the first seven verses tonight of chapter 7, Daniel has a vision of four beasts. Okay? And each one of these beasts represents a kingdom of Gentiles. In fact, they represent the same kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about in Daniel chapter 2. You remember in Daniel chapter 2, he dreamed about that statue that was made out of different materials that represented the kingdom of Babylon and then the ones that would come after him. Now, if you remember when we studied chapter 2, God gave Nebuchadnezzar that vision of that statue, head of gold, arms of silver, thighs of brass, feet and toes mixed of clay and iron. God gave Nebuchadnezzar that vision because Nebuchadnezzar was concerned about what was going to happen to his kingdom. What kind of legacy or what was going to come after him. And so God pulled back the curtain of history and let Nebuchadnezzar dream of the statue and put Daniel in place to interpret it for him, to tell him what was going to happen. And here's what I was thinking about this afternoon. If Nebuchadnezzar was concerned about what was going to happen. Think about what Daniel must have thought. Because as God revealed the future to Nebuchadnezzar in the dream and then gave Daniel the interpretation of it, and then God sent this dream of these four beasts to Daniel that represent the same four kingdoms, all Gentile kingdoms, I'm sure Daniel must have thought, well, Lord, when are you going to send, you know, when are you going to establish your kingdom? When are you going to set, somebody on the throne of Israel that will rule the world that comes from the line of David? I mean, God had promised that at various times to his people. And yet, here's God revealing the future to both Nebuchadnezzar and to Daniel through Nebuchadnezzar and through this dream that he has in Daniel chapter 7. And there's only one little part, that, and again, God didn't go into much detail, that deals with Israel. The rest of them deal with the Gentile nations. And so I'm sure Daniel must have wondered, well, when are you going to step in? When is Israel going to rule the earth again? And this one that you promised to set on the throne of David, when is he going to come? Now, so again, in Nebuchadnezzar's vision of the statue, there were four different metals. In Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7, there's four different beasts. And these kingdoms fill in the gap between when Nebuchadnezzar ruled and when Jesus was going to come back and rule, okay? And so the fifth kingdom is the one that Christ is going to come and set on the throne. So saying that, you have to say that the fourth kingdom in some way or another exists today. Okay, now the fourth kingdom was Rome, okay? And so we know the Roman Empire doesn't exist. It ruled the world for 1,000 years, but it doesn't exist anymore. But most people look at the European bloc and say, that's the fourth kingdom. And at some point, they'll probably again rule the world, albeit for a short time, so that Jesus can come and overthrow them and set up his kingdom. So, again, let me remind you of the image, and let me tell you, give you a preview of the beast, and then we'll talk about them tonight for our Bible study. So you remember Nebuchadnezzar's vision of a statue. Fill the earth, reach to the heavens. The head was made of gold. The first beast we're going to talk about tonight is a lion. Both of those represent the kingdom of Babylon. Okay, again, these were kingdoms that ruled the whole world. The arms of silver. As you move down the statue, again, the kingdoms get inferior as you move down. The arms of silver, and then the second beast that Daniel saw in his vision was a bear, okay? They represent the Medes and the Persians who would overthrow the Babylonian kingdom. Again, when Belshazzar brought the dishes out and the fingers of God came to write on the wall, when Daniel interpreted the writing, he said, "This night the kingdom is going to be taken away from you, Belshazzar." And Babylon was overthrown that night, and the Medes and Persians took over. The thighs of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's statue compare to a panther or a leopard that Daniel sees in the vision that he has in chapter 7. That represents the Greek Macedonian kingdom, run by Alexander the Great and then the generals that took over from him. And then the legs of iron and the feet, the toes of iron and clay mixed together is a beast that there's no earthly beast to describe. Daniel's just going to describe the beast as terrible, and it's going to have 10 horns. And of course, that kingdom represents the Roman Empire. Now, again, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, most of the descriptions of the kingdom was the outward descriptions, the splendor and glory that those kingdoms had as they ruled the world. In the vision that Daniel had of the four beasts, it's looking at the inward character of those kingdoms. And so we see the true nature of those kingdoms. We don't see so much the splendor and glory that we saw in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, but we get to see the inside, sort of the heart of those kingdoms and how wicked and cruel they were to the people that they ruled over. So let's start in verse 1 tonight of Daniel chapter 7, where the Bible says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters." So again, Babylon still ruled the world. Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. You remember, his father was the first regent, so to speak, but he was off fighting in war. And so his son, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar, ruled in Babylon. So the head of gold was still the world empire at that point. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar died and his son took over, Daniel, they didn't use Daniel. He sort of went into retirement, probably for about 20 years. And so he still, you know, had a place in the Babylonian empire, but he wasn't used. The king didn't call him in to interpret dreams or interpret writings or anything like that. And so in that 20 years, Daniel had time to study the scriptures that existed. He also had time to write. And so he had time, as God gave him these visions, to write these visions down. And in all probability, even in chapter 7, it says dream and visions. He probably had three separate ones just from what he recorded in chapter 7. Had a vision about the first three beasts, had a vision about the fourth beast, and then had a vision about what's going to happen as the horns come into play in the vision of the fourth beast. And so he wrote these dreams in this book. Verse 2, "Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea." The great sea, so here's what he saw. He saw a tornado. Not wind that just blew in one direction, but wind that came in every direction, and it blew upon the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Now, what that pictured, the sea represents peoples, nations. The wind represents the chaos and the turmoil that was involved in setting up these different kingdoms. Okay? I mean, when the Babylonians set up their kingdom, they did it by conquering the world. The Medes and the Persians, they just took over from Babylon, but there was a lot of turmoil as the Babylonians were kicked out and the Medes and the Persians came into control. And so Daniel said, hey, I saw the start of these kingdoms. I saw the end of these kingdoms. And they came about with a lot of distress, turmoil, agony in the world. That's what he's saying in verse 2 there. Verse 3, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another." And so he said, I saw four beasts. So as the winds blew upon the sea, this is what he pictured, four beasts came out of the sea. And so as the turmoil in the world, you know, stirred up all the people, there arose these four kingdoms. They were pictured by the four beasts. The first one was a lion. The second one was a bear. The third one was a leopard. The fourth one was a beast with 10 horns. And again, represents the kingdoms that were formed out of peoples, tongues, tribes, and nations. Verse 4, "The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." Okay, again, here's what Daniel saw. He saw a lion with wings. The wings were plucked off. Then the lion was lifted up from off the earth and made to stand as a man on the earth, and it was given a heart, a man's heart was given to that lion. Okay, again, that lion represents Babylon. Okay? A lion, a fierce, devouring animal with wings that could move quickly. So Babylon was a fierce, devouring nation and empire. I mean, it conquered the world, and it moved quickly and suddenly to do that. So the armies of Babylon moved quickly. They attacked suddenly. The plucking of the wings of that lion represented when Nebuchadnezzar was humbled, when he lost his mind. And by the way, down in verse 17 of this chapter, it says, these great beasts, which are four kings. So the king that Daniel's talking about in the lion is Nebuchadnezzar. Again, he had an army that was powerful, that could move quickly and conquer. It did as it conquered the world, represented by the wings. When the wings were plucked off, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, remember? And he dwelt among the animals. He lost his reason. He lived like an animal. He grew claws, and his hair grew. And he lost all of his reason. Remember why? Until he knew that God was God. And then when it says that that lion was lifted up from the earth, he lived as an animal on the earth, God restored him, lifted him up from the earth, and gave him a heart like a man's heart, probably indicating that Nebuchadnezzar came to the truth that the God of Daniel was the only true God. And again, we've talked about all that in the history that we looked at in chapter 4. So Nebuchadnezzar was that king represented by the lion with the wings that could move his army swiftly, conquered the world ferociously like a lion does. The wings were plucked when he lost his mind. Then it was given back when his kingdom was restored and given a man's heart when he realized that God was God. Verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So the bear is comparable to the arms of silver in Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Two arms in the statue, the Medes and the Persians. Three ribs in its mouth. There were three nations that were taken over by the Medes and the Persians to form their kingdom. Babylon, Lydia or Libya, and Egypt. So it had the three ribs that represented those three nations that they took over. No wings on this bear. So a bear is sort of a lumbering animal. It moves slow, but it gets its prey. That's an apt description of the Medes and the Persians. There was a king, probably the king that represents the bear, Xerxes, that had an army of 1 million men, 300 ships. They were a powerful army, but it took them a long time to get anywhere. And so they were like a bear. They lumbered the earth and overtook all these kingdoms to form their kingdom. Verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another animal, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So, again, here was a leopard or a panther, an animal that could move quickly, again, represented by the wings, represents the Greek Macedonian kingdom, empire of Alexander the Great. Alexander, like Nebuchadnezzar, had an army that could move quickly, and it moved quickly and conquered suddenly the world, okay? And that's what Alexander the Great did. I mean, he was 35 years old when he conquered the world. He died at 35 as an alcoholic. He conquered the world, but he couldn't conquer himself. And so when he died, his four generals took over for him. So the beast also had four heads. And when he died, his generals took over. One took over Macedonia, one took over Asia Minor, one took over Syria, and one took over Egypt. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any historical fact about that kingdom. It was in that time period between the Old and the New Testament. It was a time period when the remnant of the Jews suffered a lot at the hands of Syria and Egypt before the Roman Empire came into existence. Okay? So that's the leopard. Now, verse 7, and we'll end with this one tonight. After this, I saw in the night vision. So this was probably a second vision, okay? Not part of the first one, but a second vision. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. Okay? And so there wasn't an animal in the earth or in the sea or in the air that Daniel could compare this beast to. I mean, it wasn't like a lion. It wasn't like a bear. It wasn't like a leper. It was a dreadful, terrible, and strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth. Okay? Now remember, the toes of the statue were a mixture of clay and iron. The feet and the toes of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was of clay and iron. And so again, the toes and the iron of iron and clay, and this animal that we're going to see at the end of the verse had 10 horns, represents the Roman Empire. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And so again, the Roman Empire ruled the world for 1,000 years. It was a very brutal empire. You did not rise up. If you rose up in rebellion against the Roman Empire, I mean, you were just, you know, you were just killed. You were executed. You were fed to the lions. You just didn't do that. And so Rome ruled the world with an iron fist. I mean, with an iron heel. It trampled underneath its feet anybody that stood in its way. And it was different from all the other kingdoms. And it had 10 horns. Now, again, the 10 horns are going to come into play as we complete this chapter. Three of those horns are going to be broken off. One's going to rise up. But we'll talk about that next week. And so, again, in these chapters that deal with prophecy, three of them have already come into play. So the Babylonians have come and gone. The Medes and the Persians have come and gone. The Greek and the Macedonian ones have come and gone. Rome ruled the world for 1,000 years. So again, some people think the Roman Empire is sort of in obscurity now, but it's still represented by the European bloc, and one day it'll come back to power because that fourth kingdom fills up the earth until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. So it's in obscurity. It's under the surface sort of now. But one day it will rise up, rule the world for a while until Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom. So again, maybe not as interesting as the stories of, you know, the fiery furnace. Maybe not as interesting as the Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, those are all stories that we can all tell. But God wanted us to have this prophecy. He wanted us to know that, you know, nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. He knows how the world is going to come to an end. He knows how kingdoms are going to rise up and fall. And he was telling Daniel about them. I mean, the Babylonians, I mean, the Babylonian Empire was still in existence when Daniel had these visions, and God was telling him what was going to happen as time passes on. We look back, see that God knew what he was talking about, see that Daniel knew what he was talking about. History confirms it. We don't need history to confirm the Bible. The Bible's always true. But history confirms that Daniel got it right, that God got it right, and that we get it right when we look back on it. And so as we look forward to God's prophecies coming true from this point forward, we can depend on them just as much as if they've already happened. I mean, you don't need to doubt what God says about the last times. Jesus is going to come back. I mean, we're looking forward to the rapture. Don't doubt that. God knows the future. Jesus is going to come back. Trumpet's going to sound. We're going to hear that voice, come up hither. And the saints are going to be taken out of this world. And then at some point in the future, we're going to come back with him. He's going to set up his 1,000-year reign and rule. We're going to rule with him. We don't need to doubt that either. It's going to happen. God knows the future. And just like he showed us that when he gave this prophecy to Daniel before it happened, he gives us prophecy today. We can count on it. We can bank on it. We can know it's true. And we better live our life like it's going to happen. Because it is. It is. All right, let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.